Last week, I preached a homily called The Art of Dying Well. It was the readings that actually brought that entire topic up, because the readings was about death and dying. If you want to access that homily, you can find it on the internet. I always podcast it and I always have the text up there. So if you search Father Satish and homilies, you should find it. But in one line, the summary of my homily last week was that the art of dying well really is about the art of living well. So I want to focus today on the art of living well. And there's a reason. As I said, the focus last week was on death and dying, but this week's focus is on the end times. And if and when that happens, that we might be found living well. It's very important that if the end was indeed tomorrow, and of course we don't know when it is, that we might be found living well. The only problem is that we don't know when these cataclysmic events that Jesus talks about will happen. We really don't. But we can do some things to make sure that we're okay with that, the uncertainty, that we're okay with the uncertainty. It's when we're not ready that uncertainty frightens us. So, three things for us to think about, or three ways we can learn the art of living well. So let me begin with my first point. And I'm calling this this point, change is the unchanging reality. Change is the unchanging reality. The gospel reading. Some people came into the temple, you know, and like people come into our church and they look at the church and say, oh my gosh, that crucifix. I've never seen something like that. It's so beautiful, right? And of course we feel very proud about our parish, you know, the crucifix and of. So there's some people walked into the temple. It's like walking into St. Peter's and looking at all that beautiful artwork and saying, my gosh, the Catholic Church, this is so awesome. Some people walked into the Temple of Jerusalem and they looked at the costly stones and they were admiring them and the votive offerings, and Jesus is standing behind and watching all this. And he makes a very wise remark. He says, all that you see here, everything that you see here, says the day will come, there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down. He was talking about the temple of Jerusalem, but then he went on to talk about the destruction of the world. So suddenly it's not just about the destruction of the temple or our church, but it's everything that we know to be crumbling right before our eyes. And the lesson we can draw from all of this, Jesus' statement about the impermanence of things, even the temple, is simply this, that nothing is permanent. And if you want evidence of that, just look into the mirror. Nothing is permanent. Change is unchanging. But the problem is that sometimes we put too much emphasis on that which is impermanent. I'm not saying that we should not. Yes, we do need to take care of this church. We need to take care of that which helps us to pray. But sometimes we put too much emphasis on that which is impermanent. The point of Jesus' gospel is this. When the world crumbles, we better be found with faith. When the world crumbles, our relationships better be good because we will need each other. When the world crumbles, we better be at peace with God, with others, and with ourselves. When the world crumbles, we better be found living the life of a disciple. When the world crumbles, we better be found thinking and talking and acting like Christ. These are the only unchanging realities. So today, we have to ask ourselves, am I putting value on those things that will take me to eternity? Because everything else, as Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. My second point, I'm calling it terrific, not terrified. Now, it seems truly amazing to me that Jesus describes the terrifying details of the destruction of the world. You heard that in the gospel reading. And then Jesus says, but when these things happen, don't be terrified. Like, really? Jesus himself was terrified in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was so terrified that he sweat what seemed like drops of blood. Jesus was terrified. I'm sure that Jesus did not mean that the disciples should never be terrified. You and I know what it means to be terrified. If you've ever had a health scare, doctor says, I gotta do a biopsy, and the time you wait between the biopsy and the results, that's called terror, right? If you have lost your job, if you've lost a child, or in the danger of losing one, or you've been in a natural disaster, we all know what it means to be terrified. I think Jesus is not saying disciples will not be terrified, but the context of Jesus' statement is important. And the context is this. When Luke was writing this gospel, or just when Luke had written this gospel, the temple of Jerusalem, remember? Jesus saying, not one stone will be left upon another. That actually came true. In 70 AD, the Romans came and besieged the city, and they destroyed the temple. By the way, that temple is standing like that even today. It's destroyed. For the people of the time, the Jews and the Jewish Christians, it pretty much seemed like the end of the world. For the Christians, there was a double whammy. Apart from that, there was also persecution. And so this was really happening. They really believed that the end of the world was at hand. Now, Luke was writing these words to his audience to assure them that yes, the world is crumbling around you, but there is one thing that you don't have to be terrified about. Yes, we are afraid. Yes, we are scared. But there's one thing you don't have to be terrified about, and that's your eternal destiny. That one thing is assured. That one thing you have forever. So the art of living well is simply this, that we live with undaunted faith in the eternal destiny that Jesus has promised us. In other words, our life on earth might be destroyed, but eternal life has been assured to us by Jesus Christ. But the art is this, the art of living well is this, that as I'm living my life today, I constantly keep my eyes on the eternal destiny. If we can live accordingly, we will live very different lives. And thirdly, the saying of Jesus about perseverance, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Let me talk about that for Just 2 minutes. The fact that persecution was a major concern for Luke as he was writing this gospel becomes very evident by the end of today's passage. Right? Jesus talks about how before all this happens, you will be dragged before synagogues, kings, governors, and of course even your family members will betray you, and that you will be put to death. Here's the bottom line. The situation that Luke was presenting was not a hypothetical situation. It was actually happening. Luke was describing the reality of the Christian people. He's writing to a persecuted people. Luke was describing what was happening. Now, in this context, the art of living well, according to Jesus, is this: perseverance. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. And what does this mean for us? We are not facing persecution like the early Christians did. We are not being dragged before people to bear witness to Christ. We are not being, you know, that is not our reality. Nor do you and I live in the imminent danger of the end of the world. Both of these realities may not be ours. However, how many times have you said life is life? When life is thrown disarray into the disarray, for the same reasons that I said to you before, I know a family right now whose child is on drugs. Just junior in high school is on drugs. And do you know that the life of this entire family has been thrown into disarray? Happens, isn't it? There needn't be persecution or the end of the world for us and our lives to be thrown into disarray. So this happened to me recently, right? Ministering in two parishes single-handedly, and on top of that discovering that my father's health is deteriorating, has actually thrown my life into disarray. Everything that I knew as being stable, it's not stable at the moment. I found 5 things helpful as I'm facing this reality. And perhaps the art of living well is for you to discover what are those things that help you persevere. I found 5 things helpful. My undying faith in God. I really, really, really believe that God is closer to me now than has been ever before. First thing. Secondly, enduring friendships. I thank God that I have friends that I can unload my life on, and I'm a shoulder for them many a times. Enduring friendships. Third, careful management of my financial resources. I live very carefully. I don't make too much money. But I know I have to go home twice to see my parents, but stuff like this happens. So I have to manage my resources very carefully. Fourth, caring about the poor and the church. So while I carefully manage my resources, I cannot forget the poor. And I cannot forget my church. I take care of both of these things. And fifthly, taking care of my own health. No matter how tired I am, I will work out because I know that I have to take care of myself. Nobody else will. These are the 5 things that I call perseverance for me. By my perseverance, I will secure my life. That's what Jesus said. I've got to do those things that'll help me to live well. Now, I don't know how and in which way your life might be thrown into disarray. But when that happens, what are you going to fall back on? You have to know what are the things you're going to fall back on. That is the art of living well. Talk about as a family. Talk for yourself. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. So here in this Eucharist, we get all the help that we can to live well. Here we get everything that we need, the inner strength we need to live lives that are holy, that are good, that are ready for Christ, that is ready to take on life. This is the art of living well. Let us pray that what God is telling us today, we might take it into our hearts and then strengthen it by our participation in the Eucharist. People of God said,